So last week we had our first or second Sangha sharing night, and we do it the first Thursday of every month. And what we do is people who want to share a wisdom teaching that has really called to their heart, they come in, they have 10 minutes, whoever wants to come up here and share your teaching. So, and the theme of self-love or loving yourself came up a few times during this time. So it reminded me that that might be a good subject or topic to talk about. Like, you hear all the time, especially in New Age type spiritual circles, I need to love myself, or I can't love anyone else unless I love myself first, right? And I've said it many times. I have heard it said many times. But then the act of actually loving oneself, right? What does that mean? Right? And I'm not saying, going to tell you what it means to you, right? Because I think it means different things to everyone. But I'll be speaking from my own personal experience, and also from the perspective of the Buddhist teachings. What does self-love or loving kindness in Buddhism, it's called metta, loving kindness. What does this mean? How do we practice it? How does it show up in our lives? Right? This is a theme we could talk about for a year. This is not anything I'm going to be able to cover very deeply in 30 minutes. But as usual, I'm going to try. So if we have this belief, and we come from the concept, I have to love myself, right? But it's a mental formation, and we're trying to force this mental formation to become an experience. It's a belief. It's a belief that can turn into an egoic agenda. And with this egoic agenda, we can get caught in a self-improvement, never-ending self-improvement program that actually serves to keep strengthening the egoic mind or the egoic self rather than the true loving kindness that I'll be pointing at. And so I think a lot of the spiritual or New Age circles or self-help circles have a different viewpoint of how to get to self-love than I do. I went to this leadership training once, and they were talking about, you know, all this self, you need to love yourself. And they told us to go home that night and to stare at ourselves in the mirror and to keep saying, I love you. I love you. I love you. For like, I don't remember how long it was, but it was an interminable long amount of time. And I started crying at some point. But it wasn't because I actually felt any love for myself. It was because I couldn't stand doing it for one more second. Right? And it just felt like such a fake, weird, contrived and forced experience, and it did not work well for me. And during that 5-day training, we were supposed to do it every evening, which I did. You know, I was following the suggestions, and it got to be less painful. But I didn't feel, you know, whatever it is that they were saying we were supposed to feel, because they were saying we're supposed to love ourselves like we would our own lover or, you know, best friend. And anyhow, so that was one of my forays into self-love. But I think a lot of people confuse self-centered, selfish, narcissistic relationship with self-love. And it's such a fine line, right? And I think that it's pretty normal as human beings to go back and forth on this line from self-interest to actual self-love. And a lot of people use the idea of loving oneself as an excuse to indulge in every sense-seeking pleasure that exists in the world. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Right? And not to say that we can't ever enjoy life or seek pleasure, because it could bring wholesome joy and happiness and wholesome mind states. But what is our intention in seeking these things? Are we there trying to seek more pleasure? You know, if it comes from a wholesome state of mind, because we know that our hearts will be strengthened and we'll feel more at peace or at ease, or we've been striving a lot lately, so we really need a day out in the nature, or a week at the beach would really serve the heart right now. Those are wholesome desires or wholesome intentions, right? But if we continue to indulge in every pleasure-seeking thing because we're trying to love ourselves, what we're actually going to be doing is strengthening and cultivating more greed, more desire, more craving, more selfishness in the mind, right? So it's a practice, mindfulness practice, where we want to look at what is going on here, what's my intention, what's driving this, what's the motivating force behind this. So there's a famous sutta, and I believe Lori may have quoted it last week, the Malika Sutta from the Pali Canon. The King Pasanadi, during the time of the Buddha, he was close, king of Kosala, and he was close to the Buddha, as well as his wife, who's this beautiful Queen Malika. And one day the king is staring at his beautiful wife, and he was feeling all this love and appreciation for his wife, and he figured, I know she loves me more than anything in the world, and I love her more than anything in the world. And so he said to his queen Malika, who do you love more than anyone in the world? And he was expecting to hear, well, you, dear, right? And she said, oh, well, I feel the most amount of love for myself. And she said, how about you? And of course, he was like, but he didn't want her to know that. So he just said, oh, yes, of course, I have the most love for myself. And then you're right behind me. And she said, oh, yeah, I love you too. So then he was upset about this. So he went to the Buddha to ask the Buddha's advice. What do you think, Buddha? Shouldn't she have said she loved me the most? You know. And the Buddha confirmed Malika's statements, actually. And he said, when I visited all quarters with my mind, nor found I any dearer than myself. Self is likewise to every other dear. One who loves oneself may never harm another. One who loves oneself may never harm another. That's a really deep. So basically, he was saying that we all, you know, hold ourselves and care about ourselves the most. And when we truly love ourselves, we won't harm other people, which I really found interesting. So another time, the Buddha used the words putajana unmatako, which stands for ordinary worldlings are mad, meaning ordinarily worldlings are crazed, because they're all burning by the fires of the defilements of the mind. So most people who have not purified the defilements of their mind of craving, greed, desire, aversion, anger, confusion, you know, all the defilements in the mind, the negative mind states, will be acting these states out. Right? So the Buddhist practice and his prescription was actually to purify, and I talk about this every week, to purify the mind, to purify one's inner being, right? And we do that through a lot of different ways. Purifying the mind, we're purifying the anger and the jealousy and the conceit. We're quelling our anxieties and our self-doubt and our grief and all the things that exist in the mind. Then we purify our behavior through practicing ethical speech and ethical behavior and wise action. This is a really important part of our self-love practice. Right? I mean, how can we love ourselves if we're mired down with confusion and negative mind states day in and day out? Right? Because the negative mind can't feel this warmth and affection for oneself, because it'll be fake. But when we purify our mind and we bring loving, kind attention to these energies, friendliness to these energies, they purify, they cleanse themselves, they calm down, they heal, right? And then when they heal and they calm down, what's left? What's left is our essence, the truth of who we are. And it's a beautiful essence. And it's a warm and nurturing and caring and naturally loving essence. We don't have to force love. We can't force egoic self-love. It'll be an act of narcissistic fooling yourself. Does that make any sense? But what we can do is we can purify the mind, purify the heart, purify our behavior, and start treating ourselves and others with non-harming to begin with. Then, as we purify ourselves, we have this natural love that we start expressing to others. We naturally become more generous. We naturally become more kind. We naturally become more present because we're meditating and practicing being in the present moment, right? So when someone walks in and we say hello to them, if I am littered with defilements, I'm going to be so self-obsessed that I'll be constantly thinking about myself. But when I've purified my mind more, I'm fully present. I'm not self-obsessed. I'm not worrying about what other people are thinking about me or how I'm looking or, you know, I'm not obsessed with all these normal preoccupations. So I notice when someone looks tired or someone looks upset or frustrated or when we're fully present, and we can say, are you okay? How's everything going? So not only do we get to be kind to ourselves, but that kindness naturally radiates to other people as well. To love oneself is to know thyself first, right? We have to know ourselves first. And we do that through mindful awareness. We sit down to meditate, and we notice things. Anybody notice anything when they meditate? Do you notice any patterns or preoccupations that the mind tends to have? Anybody? Right? So we have to see these things first with mindful awareness. And then we accept them. Right? We accept, somehow, genetically, or through conditioning, or through fear, or whatever happened in my life, I have these preoccupations, these tendencies. Accept them. And open up to the suffering that these preoccupations cause. Because they're really painful. When you start paying attention, you'll notice how much stress that they cause, how much contraction they cause, right? And the more we can open up to them, and the more we can open up to our suffering, then the more compassion develops. Right? It's like, wow, this is hard. Oh, wow, I wish for myself and for this energy to be healed. So then there's this wholesome motivation to bring kindness to this energy, to heal it. But if we're not aware of it, if we're avoiding it, if we're pushing it away, if we're making it bad and wrong, if we're pretending it's not here, keep slamming that door shut, guess what happens? Boom, 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 boom. That energy is there to be healed. It's there to be purified. And in the process of our opening to it, it purifies us as well. So there's, you know, a lot of teachers talk about it from different places. But it's this process of turning towards these energies that motivate the purification process and the freedom process. So this is all from a Buddhist perspective. So it also gives us a roadmap of what we want to work on or what we want to improve. Right, when I first started this practice, I was definitely a work in progress. A big, huge project. But anyhow, I had a lot of anger. A lot of anger. And it was explosive anger. And because I had dealt with a lot of trauma in my own childhood. And there's a lot of, my parents had been traumatized, and they passed that trauma on to their kids. And so, you know, here I was with all this trauma to heal. But if I hadn't started this practice, I may have continued to project it onto my romance, whoever my partner was at the time. It's their fault. You know, if he wasn't an alcoholic, I would be okay. Or whatever. But this practice made me say, oh, you have a lot of anger, you have a lot of trauma, you have a lot of fear, you know, and on and on and on. And like I said, I'm definitely a work in progress. There's a lot less now after 32 years of doing this practice. But I have to say that it's an act of self-love to heal ourselves. Right? It's an act of love. Self-love. The Buddha had a lot to say about loving kindness. If you read all of his, I've got five of these books. This is the Numerical Discourses with all his suttas. And they're pretty big. He has a lot to say about loving kindness, but most of everything that he says is about sending it to other people. The one sutta I quoted before, he's talking about loving yourself. And then this one, too, I found where he said the same thing. He was giving instructions, and this is the Vinaya Sutta in the Numerical Discourses. He said, after the meal, when I've returned from alms round, I enter a grove. I collect some grass or leaves that I find there into a pile and then sit down. So this is what we're supposed to do. But we have chairs now. I establish mindfulness in front of me. Then I dwell pervading one quarter with my mind imbued with loving kindness. Likewise, the second quarter of my mind, the third quarter, and the fourth quarter. So he imbues his entire mind with loving kindness. Thus above, below, across, and everywhere, and to all, as well as to myself. I dwell pervading the entire world with the mind imbued with loving kindness, vast, exalted, measureless. Those are great instructions, aren't they? Kind of like we did in our loving kindness practice today. We did a visualization. There's so many ways to do loving kindness practice. When I first started doing loving kindness practice, I could not send to myself. Every time I tried, it felt just, I would start to go crazy, restlessness and anxiety. So that's definitely been a practice as well. Anybody have had that same experience? No? Okay, great. If you do have difficulty sending to yourself, some people use their dog or their cat or a best friend or a sweet little being, child first, and then move on to yourself. Often picturing yourself as a little baby or a child can be helpful in sending it to yourself that way. But including yourself, right? And this kind of love that I'm talking about is unconditional love. It's not based in, if you're good, I'm going to love you, or if you're a certain way. It is seeing that given the same karma, causes, and conditions, that I could be a murderess, right? I just haven't had those causes and conditions and genetic makeup. I could be a thief, a liar, I could be anything. I could be the Dalai Lama or Mother Teresa as well, if I had different causes and karma and historical conditioning. So that, from that unconditional love, I'm not judging myself. And I'm seeing that I am a product of every moment that's happened before this. Right? So there's this really deep recognition and acceptance of who we are. And that's the part of the knowing thyself, accepting the self. Right? Bringing compassion and kindness to all of this. All of this. Right? This is, you came here. This is you. Right? And it's an act of courage. Right? We can go through our lives seeking pleasure, avoiding pain, blaming everyone else for our internal pain, trying to hyper-control the entire universe, trying to force our partner to love us, or whatever. Or we can have the courage to turn towards this incarnation, really start to care about what it's here for, what you're here to heal, what your true essence is. Because once we heal that, your true essence comes out, how this essence wants to express itself, what gifts it brings to the world, which are amazing and beautiful. And you may end up doing things you would have never dreamed you'd be doing. I never thought I'd be sitting up here teaching the Dharma. I just thought it was the, you know, something I did. I was a retreat whore. I never knew it would turn into anything, right? Trying to heal myself is what I was trying to do. And it became a passion and a love and a path and a journey that unfolded. So how do you love yourself, right? How do you switch from that self-centered, selfish love to the real deep caring, what needs to be healed love, right? Practicing patience with yourself, practicing gratitude for yourself and others, practicing self-compassion when we're really suffering, right? Can we bring our hands to our hearts and go, wow, this is really hard. You know, there's a deep part of us that wants to be loved and accepted by others, that wants to be important and live a life with meaning and freely love, freely connect with other people, and really honoring that part without beating it up when things aren't working well. Not expecting perfection from ourselves. I talked to a woman today at the coffee shop who was saying that her daughter's at seventh grade is depressed and anxious and going through hell because she's such a perfectionist. Seventh grade. She got a 97 at her midterm scores, and now she's all stressed out because she's got to do better the next time. You know, seventh grade. And so my brother was there, and he said, well, sounds like she's got a real issue with perfection. Where did she learn that? And she said, well, I guess I'm pretty much that way. But anyhow, can we let ourselves off the hook? Allow ourselves to be human, imperfect human beings? Setting healthy boundaries with ourselves, with our schedules. Right? I have to be really clear to love myself. I have to learn to say no. And I have to take a day, at least one day off a week, and give myself some time to regroup, be kind to myself, veg out, sit on my back porch, cook a delicious meal, spend time with friends on a regular basis. Going to a therapist if you need extra support in your healing process is maybe very powerful, supportive. And having really healthy relationships, or at least attempting to find some great spiritual friends who can you can support each other in your paths, is incredibly powerful. You know, one thing that really helped me on this last retreat, have you heard of resourcing? If you're having a really hard time or feeling a lot of self-doubt or confusion or beating yourself up and can't seem to get off of the self-beat-up, Tara Brach has a great book. What is it called?
True Refuge.
True Refuge. And she talks a lot about how to resource. So if you want to read that book, you might learn a lot. But finding some, for me, a visualization of someone that you create. And I used to use an old grandmother, and I was a little child, and jump up in her lap. But this last retreat, I had a past life, 6-week retreat I was on, a past life memory. I remembered an entire lifetime where my mother, we were both African American, and she was the most loving mother. And she said, you're beautiful. She kept saying, you're beautiful just the way you are. You're perfect just the way you are. You're my girl. And she was just so loving and sweet. So every time I'd be sitting there having a really hard time, I heard her voice telling me how beautiful and wonderful I was. And so I don't know if she had this past life actually happened or if my subconscious created it, this resource. But it was very powerful and supportive. So if you can create an inner resource, or perhaps you have a beautiful, loving person in your life that you can imagine as saying something kind to you right then, that can be very helpful. I'm practicing loving kindness right now for an hour a day every morning. If you want to know more about loving kindness practice, read Sharon Salzberg's book, Loving Kindness is the name of the book. And it's just a wonderful book. When we start to unload ourselves from these defilements, what's left, right? Not only is it just beautiful, amazing light and love and essence, but it's interconnected with all beings, right? It's this pulsating, vibrating, throbbing, back and forth, give and take expression of life force that we're all sharing. If you could see it, you would see this flowing energy from me to you and you to me and everyone to, you know, it's a beautiful dance that we do. And we get to feel the love for others, for ourselves, for all of life, and the beauty that's here in this life. So I invite you to practice loving kindness, practice being kind to yourself, being patient, but you know, not the look in the mirror and try to force the I love you thing. Let me read to you a poem that I really like. This is by John Wellwood. It says, forget about enlightenment. Sit down wherever you are and listen to the wind singing in your veins. Feel the love, the longing, the fear in your bones. Open your heart to who you are right now. Not who you would like to be, not the saint you're striving to become, but the being right here before you, inside you, around you. All of you is holy. You are already more and less than whatever you can know. Breathe out, touch in, let go. So that's just a little tiny piece of my take on self-love. And thank you for your listening, your kindness. And for your own self-love, for being here.